We're exploring the nature of friendship here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You'll probably hear today called Galentine's Day. This became a thing after an episode of the NBC sitcom Parks and Rec back in 2010. So we're taking the occasion to assess women and their friendships. What does the science tell us about the power of female friendships? Is there a scientific explanation for how women interact with their friends? Questions we're going to explore this hour with your friendship stories, part of this discussion at 800-642-1234. Do you have a female friend for whom you depend on? Has your relationship evolved over time? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jacqueline Moroz is a science writer for the New York Times. She is the author of Girl Talk, What Science Can Tell Us About Female Friendship. Jacqueline, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, tell us how you conducted your research for this book, because we can hold friendships very close to us and not reveal too much. How did you go about this research?
Well, I did my own study of women, asking them about friendship of all different backgrounds and ages. And I also talked to evolutionary anthropologists, psychologists, neuroscientists, researchers, anybody I could find who had done some research about the topic, because there actually is very little research out there, but it's a growing field on women's friendship.
Yeah, you noted in your book that we really haven't probed this area. It really harkened back to the 1960s when we started making some connections.
That's right. That's because I guess historians didn't really put that much weight into the topic of women's friendship. Everything was about men's friendship. So that's partly why this is a new topic.
And so when you talk with this broad swath of psychologists and researchers and neuroscientists, what was the most surprising thing you found in these responses?
Well, from my study, one of the most surprising things I found was that of all the women that I surveyed about friendship, more than 50% of them had gone through a friendship breakup. And I thought that was pretty shocking that so many women had gone through that.
And what does a friendship breakup look like? What rises to that level?
Well, usually it means they're no longer speaking to each other. It's interesting because that was one of the things I've discovered, is that men's and women's friendships are so different in that regard, because men's friendships, if they end, they just sort of drift apart. But for women, it can be a very volatile, dramatic breakup, very upsetting to people. And one woman I talked to said she still missed her friend 40 years later and was wondering what had happened to her. So most of the women said that a breakup with a friend can feel worse than a breakup with a boyfriend or a divorce even.
Well, what are some of the scientific health benefits behind friendship? It actually affects our health. How are friendships connected to health outcomes?
Well, so being with friends actually releases oxytocin in our brains, which calms us down. And it also increases serotonin, which is a natural mood stabilizer, and it calms our central nervous system. So if you are spending time with your friends, you can kind of feel that sort of good feeling. It's actually similar to what women feel when they're nursing babies. They get oxytocin going to their brains. So that's why, one reason why it feels so good. But some of the health benefits are having a good close circle of friends improves our immune system. It lowers our blood pressure. We are less depressed. These women have better healing from illnesses, and we actually live longer.
We're talking about the power of female friendships with Jacqueline Moroz as our guide. She's the author of the new book, Girl Talk, What Science Can Tell Us About Female Friendship. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a female friend that you depend on? How has your relationship changed over time? Are you close with sisters or cousins? How is your female friendship different than your other relationships? Call in. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jacqueline, in the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May appointed a Minister of Loneliness to address social isolation. Can loneliness be a rise to a public health crisis?
Definitely, and I think that's something they should consider doing here as well. All the health benefits that you get from having good friends, well, it's almost the opposite when you don't have a good circle of friends. Women don't heal as quickly. It can cause anxiety and stress in their lives. And all of these differences have been documented in research, actually. So, there are lots of benefits to having good friends.
And some suggest that social skills should be taught in health class to avoid isolation and the negative impact. Can this be taught to be able to avoid loneliness?
I definitely think so. In fact, I just had a conversation with my son about this last night, who's 15, and I think you can learn social skills at any age. I also have a freshman in college who's struggling with this, so I think these social skills should be taught definitely in school and throughout. Go ahead.
Science shows that there also may be biological reasons we choose our friends, and it has to do with our genes. How could genetics play into who we're friends with?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. So some scientists believe that the reason that we choose the people who become our friends is because we actually could share some of the same genes with them. So if you wonder why you and your good friends have so many things in common, or you have the same interests, you like to do the same things, you like to laugh at the same kind of movies, that could be because we actually share some of those genes with them.
Well, what about siblings then, or a parent, or an extended relative? We have those close relationships, but are these non-blood relatives different?
Yes. Are you talking about in terms of friendship?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't tend to have a breakup with a relative or a friend in the same way that you would with a friend. Those relationships will last. And the interesting thing that I found was the other friendship relationship that tends to last, no matter if you move apart from each other or you haven't talked to each other in years, is your college friendships. And I guess I think those are because they were formative years when you spend a lot of time together. And that's definitely been the case for me. My college friends are still in my life, even though we all live far apart and rarely talk to each other. So
they form more of that groundwork. Men today tend to form larger, less intimate social networks. Women tend to form smaller, more intimate friendships. We're learning about why that is with author Jacqueline Moroz. Her book is called Girl Talk. Your thoughts on the friendships you've formed and fallen out of through the years at 800-642-1234. What did you learn from the friendships your mother had? Are you close with sisters or cousins? How is your female friendship different than your other relationships? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the nature of female friendships on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A friend isn't a blood relative, but some women say they feel closer to their friends than to some of their own family members. Conversely, science tells us that male friendships are seldom as intimate as women's, and they rarely go through troubling breakups with their friends. We're talking about the science of relationships with your experiences front and center at 800-642-1234. Have you gone through a friend breakup? What was that experience like? And men, what do you value about your relationship with male friends? Is it different than those you have with female friends? Join in the conversation by phone at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Author Jacqueline Moreau stays with us. Her book is called Girl Talk, What Science Can Tell Us About Female Friendship. Jacqueline, the amount of friends we should have for our health has also been studied. How many friends should we have? Give it a number.
Well, we should have the number of friends, our close friends should be the number of fingers on one hand, as our brothers probably told us, so that we most people have about five close friends. And there's a theory that the amount of friends we have in total, and these are the number of, these are the people that we would see in a supermarket and stop and talk to them or maybe have a cup of coffee with, is about 150 friends. And that's called Dunbar's number. And that was actually the average size of English villages, church parishes, a typical Amish community. It's interesting. So that number, you see that throughout society.
And how did Dunbar come up with that number? How was that determined?
He actually started out by looking at the brains of animals and then realized that this was the number, the same for humans as well.
Many women say they feel closer to their friends than to some of their own family members. Why is that? Why do women have such close friend relationships with each other?
So, in traditional societies, women went to live with their husbands' families, and this was difficult for them because they had to live among strangers and try to get along. So they formed smaller, more intimate social networks so that they would feel more secure. And for the men were living with their family members, so they already had a high degree of trust with them because they shared their genes. And that's why men tend to form these larger, less intimate social networks. But women need these smaller, more intimate friendships. And so in order to have these, they disclose vulnerable information to them, which builds trust. And that's partly why we feel so close to our friends.
You also bring up that men are into activities like fixing a car or, engaging in a sport with each other. But women are more into companionship. What is to that?
Right. So that's partly the same thing as what I was just talking about with these traditional societies. So because men tend to have these larger, less intimate social networks, it's all about taking part in activities. If you think about traditionally that meant going into battle together, but now it's more like playing golf together or watching a football game or fixing their cars. And that's kind of how men are with their friends, whereas women invest more time in maintaining their friendships, and that can mean like having a cup of coffee or drinking tea together and talking and telling each other very intimate details about their lives.
Does that mean that men value friendship less than women?
No, I think they value them the same way. And even though male friendships don't tend to be as intimate as women's friendships, they still feel a lot of satisfaction out of being with their friends.
We're looking at the science of female friendships and what it tells us, what it means for human nature. Jacqueline Moreau is our guide, and her book is called Girl Talk, What Science Can Tell Us About Female Friendship. Your thoughts and your personal experiences are welcome at 800-642-1234. Have you gone through a friend breakup? What was that experience like? And men, what do you value about your relationship with male friends? Is it different than those that you have with female friends? and how has the internet helped or hurt your friendships? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jacqueline, you lay out in your book how historically women have been socialized differently, and it actually makes women more skilled at starting and maintaining relationships. And you talk about going to live with their husbands' families who they didn't know. Did that help build their skills in developing friendships?
Well, definitely. It made them just more intimate with their friends. But the flip side of that is that because women's relationships are much more intense, they're more fragile. So if you disclose a lot of intimate things to a friend, you feel more vulnerable, and it's easier to feel like your trust has been betrayed. And that's what can lead to these breakups between women.
In terms of competition, how does that impact friendships?
So that was one of the more interesting insights I learned from doing this book. I tried to understand, where does this kind of bitchy behavior come from between women? And that's actually a form of aggression, which men also take part in with their friends. But because women are socialized by about the age of 7 to not act outwardly aggressive, it becomes a form of indirect aggression with each other. And up until age 7, it's pretty much equal between boys and girls. And so that indirect aggression between women, and they tend to be with women that you're close with, not somebody that you don't really know, is why women feel that kind of behavior from their friends sometimes.
So in terms of men, though, we humans have a natural amount of aggression, and that factors into our friendships. So does that explain why sometimes friendships can turn? They can suddenly become more tense, or suddenly jealousy becomes part of the picture. What happens when there is a turn?
Well, I mean, all humans seek power through aggressive behavior, and so that's when the friendship breakups can come about, and it can be really devastating for women. For women, relationships are much more meaningful, and women really care about what their friends think. So that's why if you have like a perceived slight or injustice from your friends, it just matters a lot more, because you're invested a lot of energy into those friendships and you care more about them. So
you also talk about friendship disruptors, and since women have such powerful connections to one another, it can feel really devastating when that relationship ends. What are these friendship disruptors?
Right. So a certain amount of symmetry is important in a friendship, and having working in the same job or both being at the same point in their lives, like dating or having babies. But some of the reasons that friendships can deteriorate is situational factors, like people moving away from you, your friend at work takes a different job, and divorce is actually the number one friendship disruptor. And any situation where you're reducing access to a friend, that can make a friendship vulnerable to a breakup.
In particular, what happens in divorce?
Well, I guess you have to choose sides sometimes, so that's one of the reasons why, that has happened to me as well, where it becomes it's a big life change, mm-hmm. and maybe you're still raising children and your friend is starting to date, and it just can be a big disruptor.
So certainly attention can get focused elsewhere and not so much energy into putting into relationships. But certainly in divorce,
exactly.
You still need those friendships to, and perhaps even more, those connections to keep that stability in a marriage breakup. So how does that factor in there?
Yeah, that's definitely true, but I think it's also the situational factor of people moving away, maybe, or having starting to date when you're still raising young children, or vice versa. And so I think that can make friendships sort of drift apart sometimes. I mean, you still need your friends, definitely, but I think that's what happens.
We're talking about why women's and men's friendships are so different with author Jacqueline Moroz. Her book is called Girl Talk, and you can be a part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. What about your experience with friendship? Does it reflect the science? Or do you think female and male relationships might resemble each other in some ways that might not be as apparent? Let's talk about it. You can email your thoughts on friendship to ideas@wpr.org or call 800-642-1234. Coming up, the evolution of female friendships and what a friend is in the U.S. is different than what a friend means on the other side of the globe. We'll talk about it here on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We're looking at the science behind female friendships here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And as we talk about what makes a relationship a friendship, it's important to make note of this era we live in, the Me Too and Time's Up movement, and what female friendship has to do with women lifting up and supporting other women. Abuse of power, sexuality, inequality, these have all surfaced in public forums surrounding the Me Too movement. How have these cultural shifts impacted friendships between women? Let's explore that at 800-642-1234. Author Jacqueline Moroz stays with us. Her new book is called Girl Talk. Let's go to the phones now with Sura joining us from Viola. Hi, Sura.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have both good male and female friendships. But there's an extra layer of difficulty. I am gay, and I have found over the years that being friends with men has often been, I've had to sift through them. Because I'm gay, a lot of men, I think, feel safe with me because I'm not a threat to their wives. But oftentimes, their only female relationship is with their wives. So they don't have a lot of, like, emotional intimacy, and then I become that person for them. So I don't engage in those friendships anymore when it's not mutual. And then with women, there's an added layer of, like, oh, you're gay, and suddenly they start flirting with me, and they want to take it to another level. So it's, you know, again, I don't engage with those kinds of friendships. But it is difficult because I get seen as more of an object of somebody's needs or desires.
Sura, let's see what Jacqueline has to say about those friendship complexities. Jacqueline?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's actually something I haven't really looked into, but I talked to a lot of women who said they enjoyed having men as friends more than women because they felt like there was a lot less drama there. Let me just talk a little bit about, like, what it means to have a good friendship. And it sounds like some of these things were lacking in your friendship. So one of them is there has to be self-disclosure on both sides. So if you felt like you were telling your male friends some intimate things about your life and they weren't doing the same thing, that can feel very one-sided and just make it feel like that's not a friendship you want to continue. And another thing is just feeling like these friendships are enjoyable on both sides and not just about venting to each other. That's another quality of a good friendship. So maybe some of these things were lacking in these friendships.
And it sounds like, too, Sura was having to give and give with the male friends and that this really took an emotional toll.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like that. And another quality of a good friendship is both of you being positive about the friendship. So if it didn't feel positive to you, that's a good reason to end that friendship.
Well, let's bring in John now, joining us from Richland Center. Hi, John.
Hi. Did you ever hear of magnetism? Well, there's a North Pole and there's a South Pole. And I think that what my grandmother told me when she was 90 years old, she was a very fine lady from the Rhineland of Germany. The one thing missing in her life, she had three sons, which were good sons. My father was one. That she never had a daughter. She wanted a daughter so she could share and care. Because I read the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It's a big mystery to us men.
John, I want to pause right there, but you bring up mother and daughter relationships. Jacqueline, what do you see there in your research?
I just want to point out that I also have three boys, and I understand that. Well, mothers and daughters do have a very close relationship, which is like a friendship, and it's something that actually, if you look at research on animals, especially chimpanzees, which are the closest to humans in their behavior, those are the closest friendships between those animals, is the mother-daughter, the closest bonds,
mm-hmm.
the mother-daughter relationship.
Going way back in history, female friendships were at one time not even acknowledged. How did the Greeks and Romans think about friendship?
Yeah, Aristotle didn't believe that women had the capacity to make friends with each other. And I was pretty shocked by that, and I think a lot of women were as well. And it didn't really start to change where women were friends with strangers until the Middle Ages, when convents came about and women were allowed to live with each other outside of their homes. And that actually allowed them to have an education that was better than most women and many men outside their religious community. And it gave them a chance to become independent and become close friends with other women.
And so seeing the relationships among nuns, why was it a refuge for some women to go into the convent?
Well, it was a patriarchal society, and women didn't really have any, you know, had very few rights and independence. And so it was actually a chance for them to live amongst themselves, make their own choices, and as I said, become educated and be able to form very strong relationships with other women.
How did literature have an impact on female friendships and how women viewed themselves?
So society expected women to behave a certain way, and that began to change when novels became more popular in the late 18th century. And the novels helped shape women's experiences of how other people lived and how they saw themselves in their communities. And women liked being able to read about these different experiences, so it helped to women to see themselves as protagonists of their own stories. And it helped to shape the way we understand gaining emotional satisfaction from a relationship as well.
When I was with your book, I kept thinking about Little Women and Louisa May Alcott and Meg Jo Beth and Amy. You know, how are some of those famous literary examples of female friendships, and how do they stay with us? Because I know I read Little Women when I was very young.
Yeah, well, they really helped to shape the way we thought about friendships outside of our own, and with someone who we were not related with, and it changes the way we recognize other people and other relationships in the world. And those books about friendship are still being written today and read by many women. And especially like the Elena Ferrante books are very popular.
You mentioned Judy Blume.
Judy Blume.
Coming of age books. Yeah, how have her books helped girls understand themselves and become a resource for young women and their peers?
Well, right. I mean, a lot of those books helped teach women things that maybe their mothers weren't teaching them about their lives, about growing up, and about interacting with friends. So they were really important during those formative years, especially for me.
We're talking with Jacqueline Moroz. She's the author of Girl Talk, What Science Can Tell Us About Female Friendship. Do you have a friend from another country? How is it different from your friendships with those that grew up near you? And does technology and the internet help you stay in touch with friends you wouldn't be able to otherwise? How has the internet helped or hurt your friendships? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email your thoughts on friendships to ideas@wpr.org. So you look at some famous friendships and the relationship between the women's rights pioneers Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. And we should note Susan B. Anthony's birthday is actually this Friday. What was that friendship like between those two women suffragists?
Right. So when they met, Elizabeth Cady Stanton had four children, was married. Susan B. Anthony was much younger, and she was single. And maybe it was common genes, but they both just connected with each other. And it was through that friendship that they really helped bring about important changes in the women's rights movement of the time. And Elizabeth Cady Stanton was the writer. She stayed home and did most of the writing. And Susan B. Anthony was the speaker. And she would go around giving talks. And their friendship was really strong and long-lasting. And apparently they never had a fight. They said they never had an argument with each other either.
Because they took different paths, you know, in terms of their own family unit.
Right. They just really seemed to complement each other and had a very strong and loving friendship with each other.
And again, in the 60s, women's friendships thrived during the feminist movement. How did female friendships change during that era?
Well, the women that I talked to who lived during that era, it's interesting. They really supported each other and helped each other get jobs, helped each other with their families. And it was interesting because when I did my survey, when I asked about satisfaction in friendships, it was the women who were of that age who felt the most satisfaction and felt like their friends had helped them the most in their careers. And I think that's because those are the women who lived throughout that during that era.
We're getting a better understanding of how female friendships work, what makes them tick. Author Jacqueline Moroz is our guide. Her book is called Girl Talk. And as you listen to this conversation, will you approach your friendships in a different way? Are you seeing your close friends in a different light? What have you learned about yourself through your own friendships? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation about the power of friendships in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about friendships and what makes them different for women on what might be considered a holiday today for female friends called Galentine's Day. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And as we talk about friendship, let's not lose sight that friendships are a human phenomenon, that they happen all over the world. And it just might be that the importance of friendship is something all cultures agree on. Western and Russian cultures have similar proverbs when it comes to the importance of distinguishing true friends. The Western saying, "A friend in need is a friend indeed," echoes the Russian proverb, "A friend is known in a trouble." What have you learned through your own friendships? Have you developed bonds with people who are from backgrounds unlike your own? And how did these relationships begin? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. So, Jacqueline, cultures around the world have fundamentally different ideas about what a friend is. Can you explain what it means to be an includer or an excluder?
Yeah. Let me just add one other Russian proverb, which is A friend will help you move, and a good friend will help you move a body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't find that one. That's great.
Oh, yeah. I didn't read that one. So in the United States, people are includers, meaning they seemingly treat everyone the same way from the outside. So if you think about it, you walk into the Starbucks and everyone says hi, or at least maybe in Wisconsin they do, and they smile at you. And so for somebody from coming outside of the culture, it can kind of feel like, oh, everybody wants to be my friend. Whereas in countries that are excluders like France, they won't smile at you, and they won't make you feel like you're included in their life or their friend. You know, they want to be a friend with you. And they actually, in France, they actually change their facial expressions according to who they talk to. So it might feel like they're very unfriendly when you're there, but you actually know where you stand with people. Whereas in America, I think a lot of people from outside are confused about who their friends are, who wants to be their friend.
And you bring up facial expressions. Apparently, some people are better reading people's facial expressions than others.
Well, women are definitely, scientists say women are called mind readers. And you can look at, one could look at your husband's face and know that they're cheating on you just by looking at them. So that's definitely true.
So, you know, we've learned here that providing emotional support is a facet of strong female friendships. Is that standard across cultures or even across racial and ethnic lines?
Yes, definitely. But some cultures take it a step further, and those are called interveners. And, for instance, Koreans and some Asian cultures who will be actively involved in their friends' lives. They'll tell them what to do. And if they believe they made a mistake, say they messed up at work, they'll say, well, that was your fault. And they'll also, if, say, a friend has a problem with a drug addiction, they'll get right in there and intervene and tell them that they need to fix this. So if you are friends with somebody of another culture like that, you might get, say, an American might sort of get their back up and say, what are you doing? Get out of my business. So it's helpful to understand these cultural differences in friendship.
And America has been said to have some of these isolationist, kind of movements coming in terms of how can that impact friendship?
Right. So Americans are, they value spending time with their friends, but they just stay out of their business. And some of the differences are, you don't loan money to a friend in this country, whereas in other countries, that's absolutely what you do. There was one person that I had interviewed who said he talked to a guy who is Mexican, and he said, I loan my friends money, and I don't ever want it back because then I know they'll always be my friend. So that was interesting. Hmm. And another difference is in some cultures, they don't like to use the word no. So if they don't respond, that means no, because they don't like to give a negative answer. And that actually happened to me where I invited a friend out for dinner and she never responded. And I was kind of insulted. And then I realized that she was from Japan, where they don't say no. And so then I understood not to be insulted by that.
Jacqueline, where do we find friends? Where can you go to make a friend?
Well, one thing I looked at was older people who can sometimes have a difficult time making friends. And the people I interviewed said they go to the gym every day or they take classes. And you start to get to know people who are also taking the same classes. I know that happens to me. Going to continuing education classes or volunteering, getting a dog or attending a church or synagogue, joining groups through like a meetup. Those are all different ways of making friends.
How have you seen technology and the internet change the way friendships work?
Yeah, that was very eye-opening to to read about that and to learn about technology. So if you think about it, 20 years ago, we spent 0 hours on social media, and now people are spending almost 3 hours a day on social media, and teenagers spend the equivalent of 40 days a year on social media, which I could not believe. And it's really changing the way we interact with our friends. If you're on social media a lot or technology, you just don't have these deep, meaningful relationships as much, and people tend to be lonelier and more stressed.
But social media can also be very superficial. You know, someone can have tons of connections, but not perhaps really know the person, only know them through their posts.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons why people sometimes think that they have more friends than they actually do, because they are friends through social media. There's this famous story about somebody who had, I think it was like 200 friends on Facebook, and then they asked their friends to meet them at a bar for a drink one night, and no one showed up. It's just kind of sad.
So as we look at this era we live in, and we have just a couple minutes left, do you anticipate that the Me Too and the Time's Up movements will change female friendships in any way?
Well, I think so. I mean, one of the things I talk about in the book is something called the shine theory, which is if I don't shine, you don't shine, and vice versa, and which is a way of the model is collaboration over competition and not keeping everything for yourself. I'm talking about in your careers. So if your friend is doing well, that means you're doing well. And I think that is the same kind of thing, helping each other.
But talking about harassment and assault can also be very difficult, and even for friends to broach these topics, women with other women. How do you go about doing that?
Talking about assault, that can be very difficult. But since women tend to have these very intimate, close relationships, and we feel like a lot of people feel like their friends are family to them, it can feel safe to talk to them about these things.
How do you hope your book evolves how we think about our friends?
So one of my big takeaways I realized from writing this book is that when people now or friends act in sort of these strange and mysterious ways, or there's a sort of bitchy behavior, I just look at them and I think, oh, well, science can explain that, so it doesn't really bother me anymore. I don't feel like it's about me. It's just I can look at it through a scientific viewpoint. So I hope people can take that away from the book.
Jacqueline, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jacqueline Moroz is a science writer for the New York Times. She's author of Girl Talk, What Science Can Tell Us About Female Friendship. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This conversation about friendship, you found it on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.